Friends, let us pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, as we look to your word, we ask that you would guide us, strengthen us. And we know we have so many thoughts and concerns that are eating at us. But we do pray, Lord, that we would cast them aside. Give attention to your word as John reads, and as I preach, Lord, that you would be glorified. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Today's scripture is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to you, or give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful in wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be able to, prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
If you were here last week, you will recall that I preached through Psalm chapter 40, and the psalmist found himself in a very dark place, one that was described as being in a pit and the miry clay. In the first chapter of Joshua, we have the Israelites going through something that they've never experienced before, and this was the loss of their great leader, Moses. And in those times of darkness, if you're like me, sometimes you want to quit. Sometimes it feels like the easiest thing to do is to quit. There's a poem that is special to me that I keep in my office, and I would like to read it for you, and perhaps you've heard it before. It goes, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh. When care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but do not quit. As every one of us sometimes learns, and many a fellow turns about, when he might have won had he just stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. It seems to a faint and faltering man, often the struggler has given up, when he might have captured the victory's cup. And when he learned too late, when the night came down, how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint in the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell how close you are. It might be near when it just seems far. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. That's really the story with the psalmist last week. When he was in a deep, dark place, he didn't quit. And just some background information on this text we have before us. It's a pretty large loss to lose a leader. But it's monumental when you lose a Moses. On top of that, we have a new leader, Joshua, who is about to take this group of people who were very, very familiar with their background, with their past, into a new place. So imagine, if you will, what this group of people are like, what they're experiencing, what they're feeling. There's a lot of uncertainty. New face to look at in Joshua, and a new land to get accustomed to. So with that, God gives a charge to the group of people here. And I think there are some really awesome things that we can learn together. And the first is this. Don't quit. Because like Joshua, Pastor Anthony is called to lead the people of God to a new place. We're going to a new place. Look at verse 2 again. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, cross the Jordan. He is sending them on to a new place with a new leader. And all of the familiar settings are now gone. And Faith Presbyterian Church sort of finds themselves in that familiar setting. There's a new pastor. It's, are we going to go backward? Are we going to go forward? And in these times, there's one thing that rises to the top in our feelings, and that's uncertainty. That's uncertainty. But God gives a powerful message in these times of uncertainty. And the message that he's saying is this. We are going to a new place. So the challenge for us is the same challenge for the Israelites. And it's this. Don't look back. Don't look back. When Israel left Egypt, several times when you're reading Exodus, they made the mistake of wanting to go backwards. Consider the 16th chapter of Exodus. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died in the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out of that place, out of that wilderness, to kill us here." What is that about? That is about the people of God being so familiar with something that even though God had a special place for them that they were heading to, because they were uncertain, they wanted to go back. Friends, don't go back. Maybe our glory days aren't behind us. Maybe they're in front of us. And instead of wanting to go back to Egypt, the people should have said, "We were in slavery there. Let's move forward. Let's walk into the destiny that God has for us." Here's what Jack Welch, CEO of GE, said. "A leader's job is to look into the future and see the organization not as it was, but as it should be." And friends, we're going somewhere, and this is exciting. Faith Presbyterian Church is going somewhere. So don't quit. Be encouraged. The second lesson is found in verses 5 and 9. Don't quit, because the promises of God are to be with you on the journey. See, God is not going to abandon us. He's not going to abandon you and I. And it's easy to feel that way, isn't it? When there's uncertainty, you feel like, where is God in all of this? But in verses 5, he says, "I will be with you." And in verse 9, he says, "I will be with you." These are just little verses that perhaps when we read, we overlook, but don't overlook them. Again, go back and imagine what it must be like, what they have felt like, what they were thinking. And what did they need? Assurance. They needed assurance that God was going to be with them. They knew that God was with them in the past, but the question was, is God going to be with us as we move forward? And he says, "I will be with you. I will be with you." Now, if you're familiar with the last words of Jesus, he has the same message for his disciples. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus came near them and spoke to them, saying, "I have received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And look, I will be with you to the very end of the age." There's that promise again. And what were the disciples facing? Uncertainty. because that was a big message. Jesus is looking at him going, look, there's only 12 of you, and there's this huge, giant, scary world out there, and that's where I want you to go. No, they were people just like you and I are people. And what were they feeling? Nervous, scared, uncertain. So he gives them the greatest blessing that anyone can give. I'll be with you every step of the way. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'll be with you. What a great blessing that is. So you and I can take that and understand that God is with us every step of the journey. Next, in verses 7 and 8, we get some really encouraging words. Be strong, very courageous. Be careful to do according to all of the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success in wherever you go. And then he goes on to say that this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Look at those verses. So much of these verses are about one spending time with God and his word, meditating on his word. And God's word essentially should guide the people of God. And that's exactly what God was saying to the people. Get your nose in my word. Understand who I am through the word. And friends, it's the same message today. You know, I was really blessed as I walk around for the Sunday school hour and see so many of you there. And sometimes I sit down for a few minutes in the Sunday schools and I'm hearing people talking about God's word and how it applies to their life. And it's just a blessing just to sit there and hear those conversations. But I want you to recall Jesus' temptation when he was in the wilderness and he was tempted not once, not twice, but three times. And every time he was tempted, what did he do? He reverted back to quoting the word. Now, why is that? Because he knew it. He loved it. He understood the Father's heart. So my question for you is this. How could you quote the word if you don't know it? How could you quote the word if you don't know it? I love Sunday school. Obviously, I love church. But this is only a few hours in the week. What's going on in the rest of the week? Is your Bible open? Do you study it? Do you read it? Do you make any time at all to get into God's word? And I love the daily bread, but I like this even better. So are you reading God's word? If you're a parent, do you spend time and pray with your children? Do you maybe come up with a creative way to maybe they can learn a Bible verse? Are you instilling this into your kids? Because that's what Joshua was saying to the people. You need to own this, make it your own. But there's something else that's tucked in here that I find very interesting, and those are the words prosperous and successful. Now, when I say those words, all of us come up with different thoughts in our minds. Right? We live in America. We're American Christians. But the question is does what we think about in our minds match what Joshua was saying way back in the Hebrew mind? And I don't think it is. Does this mean if I follow God's word that I'm going to have a really big giant house and drive the nicest car? I don't think so. Let me give you an example. Let's just think about Jesus for a moment. Jesus was born in an obscure little village. He had no palaces. He had no chariots. He wasn't a part of a big political scheme. He taught strange things, at least at the time, right? Turn the other cheek if someone hits you. Pray for your enemies. He didn't hang around celebrities. There was no one famous around Jesus. He was arrested, tried, beaten up, treated like a common criminal, and he was crucified on a common cross. Now, there was nobody that encapsulated verses 7 and 8 more than Jesus. There was nobody that knew God's word more than Jesus. So, according to our standard of being prosperous and successful, Jesus really failed. However, we have a different standard of what it means to be prosperous, don't we? Jesus conquered death and hell. Jesus paid the price for our redemption. Jesus paved the way for us to have everlasting life. Jesus gives us joy and grace. And Jesus defeated the devil once and for all. So was Jesus successful? Was he successful? Yeah. Was he prosperous? Yes. But not in the way that our world sees this. So it's important to understand when we read these verses. The question that we have to ask ourselves is not necessarily what does prosperous and success mean to us, but what does it mean to the original audience? And we see here it means something totally different. So I want to challenge you to think through what it means to be a successful person, what it means to be a prosperous person. This is why Jesus says in the 15th chapter of John, "Remain in me and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing." That's what it means to be successful in the eyes of Jesus, abiding in the Father, walking hand in hand and foot by foot with Jesus. That's what success is. And then finally, I love verses 6, 7, 8, and 9 because we have these really exciting charges from God. We see words like be strong, be very courageous, do not tremble or be dismayed, do not fear. And these are the exact kind of words, this is the exact kind of message that the Israelites need to hear. Not just God's going to be with you, but do not fear. Be very courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. You see that word tremble or dismayed? If you look that up in the original, it means shattered. In other words, stay together as a person, as a man. Stay strong. Don't fall apart in the face of adversity. Wow, that's awesome. Be very courageous means stout, strong, bold, and alert. They need those kind of people because they're going into an uncertain place. And Joshua is a different kind of leader than Moses. But he's the one that's going to get them from where they were to the promised land. You know, when we're on a business trip, we use the term wake-up call, don't we? And that's when the person at the desk gives you a call. But it's also used in another way. It's when something needs to get our attention. And this is exactly what this was for the people of God in the first chapter of Joshua. It was a wake-up call. He was saying this, Moses is gone. Egypt is history. Are you ready to embrace a new future? Are you ready for newness? And one of the greatest things, one of the greatest hindrances to all churches is what I like to call shiny things. And we'll conclude with this story. You've read the book, Where the Red Fern Grows. You're familiar with this children's book. I've heard this story once, and it really just crept right in my mind and stays there. In the book, one of the boys goes up and talks to a fella about how to catch a raccoon. He said, well, it's pretty simple. You take a box or a log and you hollow it out. He said, you make the hole just big enough for the raccoon to get his hand through. And you put something shiny in it because the shiny thing will attract the raccoon. He said, now, once the raccoon has the shiny thing, you remember the story? He says, he'll never let it go. He'll hold on, and that's when you go get him. Friends, as a church, we cannot be attracted to shiny things. Our shiny things are what happened before. They're in the past. And if we hold on to them forever, we'll live there. But as you can see from this powerful passage, God doesn't want us to live in the past. He wants us to move forward in the bright future that he has for us. And my question for you all is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe that God has something amazing for us in the future? If you believe it, then say, I believe it. That's right. God has something amazing for us. Just avoid shiny things, because once your hand's in there, you won't let it go. You have to release it, Take your hand out and believe in the bright future that God has for us. Be strong, be bold, and be courageous. And above all things, just don't quit. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, friends, let us stand and sing our final hymn, Because He Lives. The silver tint in the clouds of doubt, and you never can tell just how close you are. It might be near when it seems afar, so stick to the fight. When your heart is hit, it's when things seem the worst that you must not quit. Friends, don't quit. Just keep moving forward. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.